Exalting Jesus with Minister Sir Ryan Davis.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Man of God, if you don't mind, would you mind doing the opening prayer this evening? Oh. Hallelujah. I'll do it. I don't know if y'all can hear me, but glory to God. We thank you, Father
yes,
God.
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. All right. Lord, we thank you. We praise you for yet another day, another moment to just give you glory, Lord. Before we enter into the word, before I say anything in and of my own accord, Lord, I humble myself and I say, God, please allow the meditation of my heart and the words of my mouth to be acceptable and in agreement with you, Lord God, and acceptable in your sight. But not only acceptable, Lord God, replace every thought with your word, with your thoughts, because you declared in your word that your thoughts are higher than our thoughts and your ways are higher than our ways. Father God, it's a blessing that we can call you Father. You are holy. You are perfect. You are just. You are righteous. You do all things well. There is no fault in you. There is no failure in you. We only fail when we fall away from your plan and get into our own thing. But when we follow your ordered steps for us, there is victory, there is peace, there is joy, there is prosperity. And so, Father, we thank you. We thank you even now for the growth, the magnitude of the growth that you're bringing in our spirits, that we can grow in the knowledge of you and bask in your goodness even more, Lord God. There's not a situation in our life that you did not see or foresee. There's not a situation in our life that can separate us from you. So, Father, we thank you for extending your kindness to us through giving your son Jesus, and that he allowed himself to suffer, to bleed and to die for us, and to resurrect with power as proof of being the Son of God. We confess him as our Lord. Lord, we thank you for guiding our confessions. We thank you for the sweet, precious Holy Spirit that is ever with us. We thank you that you're already present on this line, Father God, where you said where two or three are gathered together in your name, you are there in the midst. So you are here. And right now we just glorify the name of Jesus. We glorify the person of Jesus. We thank you for making yourself known and revealing the Father unto us. Hallelujah. We thank you. We thank you. We lift your name. We exalt you, Lord God. We don't have to conjure you up. We don't have to make tons of noise and lots of movement to get you in our midst when you are already in the midst. But Father, let us acknowledge, make us aware of your presence because you're already here. Father, I pray you fall freshly on each soul that is listening and represented today. Someone has a prayer request. Hallelujah, for your sister. God, we just pray for them right now. We thank you, Lord God. We call forth healing, Lord God, right now. We call forth total healing right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for your grace, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for extending your grace once again, another day. We thank you for your mercies. Many a times we ought to have been cut off, but you have been merciful. You've been extremely merciful. Lord God, you have blocked the hand of the enemy. You have blocked things that we did not even see coming, Lord God. Certain things never even made it to us because you had someone who was willing to pray. You had someone who was hearkening to the voice of the Holy Spirit, and you had the Holy Spirit speaking, Lord God, on our behalf. Thank you, Father. And we just pray right now that for every ready heart that is at under the sound of my voice today, that the Spirit of the Lord will begin to speak to them and even break through in them, hallelujah, bringing forth the work of intercessory prayer. I thank you for the impartations, hallelujah, Lord God. And we know you are the one that will activate it in time. You are the one that gives the increase, Lord. You will send water upon the seed. So, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your righteous understanding, hallelujah, on today. Lord, should we find ourselves in any snare, any trap, any way, Lord God, that is not of you, we ask for deliverance. We ask that you would prick our hearts, turn our hearts, cause us to see as you see, to look upon things from your perspective. Hallelujah, Lord God. We just thank you right now that everyone under the sound of my voice, Lord God, is subject to the power of healing, the power of the working miracle, power of the Holy Spirit. Whatever you stand in need of, this is an atmosphere of faith. You cannot come assemble with any doubt. We cannot assemble with any doubt, but we have to believe whatever it is that we have asked God for and we're trusting him for, he's not only able but willing to do it for you. If it's in his will is in his holiness. Anything outside of his holiness is outside his will, but if it's in his holiness, it's in his will. And God's will is for you to be healed. God's will is for you to be delivered. God's will is for you to be set free. God's will is for you to be ready when Jesus returns. God's will is for you to prosper and be blessed on all your days on the earth while we await his return, while we serve him waiting on his return. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So God's plans for you, beloved, are good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to slow down and pace myself here. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. Lord, just search our hearts on today. Let us find ourselves more desiring of you. Every desire of this world and the things that are not pleasing to you, we want you to go in and purge it out. Search our hearts, Father. Whatever you find, it ought not be, Lord God. We ask, send fire now and consume that. But, Lord, we thank you for not consuming us. It is by your mercies that we are not consumed. Lord, I thank you for the growth of those who are listening, Lord God. I thank you for the maturity. Hallelujah. I thank you for your hedge of protection. Hallelujah. This is a day to be thankful, people of God. This is a day to be thankful, to give God glory, not just in the midst of people, but when everybody's gone, when it's just you and God, find a quiet place and just from your heart say thank you. When you get off this line, just think about who God really is to you, who Christ is in you, and give him a praise. You're breathing right now. That means purpose. He says, everything that have breath, praise ye the Lord. That means God has given you purpose. Every breath he gives you is an opportunity to seize the destiny and the purpose that God has set forth for your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I'm going to go to the scriptures today and bring forth this word. But I want to expound on something real quick. We have to, in this season, in every season, in fact, we have to know who we are. There's power in identity. This is not the word today, but I need to say that there's power in identity. Our identity is not contingent upon any works that we do as far as the works of ministry. That's not our identity. That's not our identity. Our identity is in our sonship. Sonship. Who is fathering us? God is our Father. So we have to begin to know him as our Father to really begin to understand our identity. What we do is what we do. But who we are is connected to what we do, but who we are is who we are. Okay? And so as a son of God, as a believer given power to walk in the authority of sonship, we can do various things. But when it all comes down to it, we have to know who our Father is. Your identity is in your DNA. Okay? It's in your bloodline. It's in your spirit. So we have to understand whose seed we are to really understand identity, whose seed we are to truly understand our identity. Sometimes we get wrapped up in, I'm a prophet, I'm a preacher, I'm apostle, I'm bishop, I'm an evangelist, or I'm whatever title you have, that defines the work you do. But you can do many works and not know him, or excuse me, he says, I don't know you. That means he doesn't see his DNA in you. In Matthew 7, I'm not going to read that, but he talks about, in that day many shall come and say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not do many wonderful things in your name? He says, I never knew you. So for God to say, I don't know you means I'm looking at you and you don't have, hallelujah, rather than our being. The Bible says in him we live, we move, and we have our being in him. So our being is who we are. He says, be ye holy, not do ye holiness. Be ye holy as he is holy. So it's a state of being. And it's going to control what you do because what you do matters. Because you do enough evil, then the devil says, I adopt you and you're now mine. And God says, I don't know you. This is how God is able to tell people he doesn't know them, because they did not allow themselves to receive the infusion of DNA, of the Spirit of God that gives you life. The Spirit gives you life. Hallelujah. The Spirit gives you life. So we have to receive that. We have to receive life. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So as a son of God, as a child of God, we have to know our identity is not wrapped up in a title. A job title is just describing what you're able or capable to do or what you're told to do. That's a job title. But when God sees us, he should see the image of his son. And that's where I'm going to start at. I'm going to start with Romans chapter 8, verse 29. And then I'm going to get into what this word is really about. If you need a title for what I'm talking about today, what the Holy Spirit wants to speak about today, it's the power of a seed. So I guess it is connected to what I'm admonishing you on right now, now that I say that. But it's a power, the power of a seed. Romans 8, 28, we know it says, we know all things work together for the good to them that love God and are the called according to his purpose. But then if you get to verse number 29, it says, for whom he did foreknow. Knowledge. He's got to know you. It says, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Understand what Paul is writing here. Let me say something about Paul real quick. When I talk about identity, and you know, it's not all based in just the works we do. Having certain abilities does not give us certain authority. Okay, let me say this for those listening. If God himself did not tell you you are an apostle, don't take the title. Okay, don't even try to wrap your identity around that. Be grateful to be a son of God. That's good enough. That's actually great. But the thing about being an apostle or a prophet or any of those type of, you know, fivefold ministry titles, they carry weight in the spirit. Okay, they do. They carry something. However, specifically speaking the term apostle, there are no man-appointed apostles. You could be a bishop, but an apostle, God himself has to send you, and he has to tell you you are an apostle. He has to tell you you are a chosen vessel, and I am sending you as such and such to such and such to perform such and such. That's what an apostle is. In other words, Jesus was, he knew who he was and who he was sent to. He didn't go to the Gentiles because he knew he was only sent for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Paul, on the other hand, the apostle Paul was sent to the Gentiles as an apostle of the Gentiles. He had his work cut out. Jesus said, you're going to do greater works than these that I do. Well, you have to understand that first of all, Israel is one nation. The Gentile is every nation. So God has given us apostolic work or mandates dealing with multiple nations now, multiple types of people that come from multiple different backgrounds that didn't know your God to begin with. Whereas Jesus went to the folk that whom they knew God, God revealed himself to them, but they rejected God for religion and for, you know, legalism. So either way, he said it was greater works. The Apostle Paul is a man of God that pretty much is the articulation of the modern-day apostle. Somebody needs to hear this. The modern-day apostle, your majority of them, their ministry is going to more or less resemble the ministry of Paul and Jesus, but more so the ministry of Paul, and I'll tell you why. bear with me a moment. I'm getting a bunch of messages, and I thought I had silenced that. We're going to rebuke the distractions right now in the name of Jesus. So Paul's ministry, Paul's ministries was to the Gentile people, okay? But he met Jesus not in the flesh like the other apostles. All the apostles met Jesus in the flesh. Paul saw Jesus in the spirit. So he received great revelation via Holy Ghost to do the works that he did, to bring the word that he brought. He didn't see Jesus when Jesus came here in the flesh. Jesus was already glorified and resurrected when he chose Paul as an apostle. Okay, so the modern day ministry of the apostle is going to be a lot like Paul's in that sense. But in the sense of the works we do, we should have a mindset like Jesus, but understand that we're not going to the same mission field, nor are we having the same mission as Jesus and the 12. He sent them specifically to Israel. Now, I said all that to get here. Our works are not our identity, but our identity is found based on whose seed we are, based on whose DNA we carry, spiritually speaking now. Everything in the natural is an indicator of the spirit. I'll tell you why I can say that. From the very beginning, God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. God is a spirit, yet he makes man here on earth in his image. So if we as a human people are in the likeness and the image of a spirit that's invisible in another realm, but here we are visible in the earth realm, then we are the likeness and the image of God. So Romans chapter 8, he says, we are to be, verse 29, we are being conformed, not transformed, but conformed. That means your will has got a lot to do with it. Transforming means I can take a piece of clay and pound it into whatever image I want. But to be conformed means that thing got to humble itself to the process. This is why I preach holiness. To be conformed to the image. This is why he says he don't know you to some people at the end of it. But he says to be conformed to the image of his son that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So watch this. We get an opportunity to look just like Jesus here on earth. Ain't that amazing? The power of a seed. But he's the firstborn. He's the firstborn among many brethren. I mean, he's calling us brothers, which now leads to my next point. If Jesus is our brother, then that means we got the same father. That means we have the same father. Now, he says, I only do what I see my father do. That means we got to line up with what he's calling for us to do. Watch this now. So if a lot of people know Big Brother, they know Jesus, but Jesus is supposed to reveal the Father to you, and the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus to you in a greater way. And the more you know Jesus, then the more Jesus is going to reveal the Father. Jesus says, but I and the Father are one. The Father is in me and I in he. Hallelujah. So Jesus wants to reveal God the Father to some of us, so that we can really know sonship. Watch this. Because sonship is what it's going to take to really prove that we are who we say we are, and that we can walk in what God really wants us to walk in. Now, Romans chapter 8, verse number 14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We have to follow the Spirit to really prove sonship. But he says he foreknew. So God knows who will submit to the process and who won't. So he's calling everything to work for your good, because he knows that he's bringing you to a place of full submission, that you will be able to walk in obedience, holiness, and project the right image here in the earth. Watch this. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 1, verse number 21, I believe it is. Romans chapter 1, verse number 20. says, verse number 20 says, "For the invisible things of him, creation of the world, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made." So we were made. He made man in his image. So we are now causing who he is to be understood by what he has made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. We are supposed to strip the unbelievers of their excuses by the life that we lead. That means not only living right, but we got to have some signs and stuff to follow this life. That means we can call forth healing and it happens. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We can get the devil out of you if you want to be delivered. And then know, okay, that God is with you. God is real. Our life is our testimony. Watch this. So he's saying here that the invisible things of God are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. So the natural is revealing the spirit. That's what he made it for. He's invisible, and he made all of this so that we could see that he is who he says he is, the truth of God. Hallelujah. So strip them of the excuse so they can look at all the creation and say, there's no God. The Bible says you're a fool if you say that. Psalms 14 says the fool says in his heart that there is no God. So you can be a fool if you choose to. That's on you. But our job as the believer is to be the reality that there is a living God. And he's in us. His DNA is inside of us spiritually. I know naturally you have the DNA of your mother and your father. But spiritually, your spirit comes first. Spiritually, your spirit comes first. Before God formed the shell, he had already made man in his mind. Then he had to breathe that into the body to bring forth a living soul. So the spirit already existed. That's why he says foreknew, predestined. Watch this. God knows them that are his. He knows them that are his. If he says, I don't know you, it's because he knows you're not following or going to follow. He knows. Hallelujah. Watch this. But to God be the praise. He's working it for your good. This word is coming across your ears, hallelujah, to help us in the process of submitting to the forming into the image that we should bear. Watch this now. Mark chapter 4, verse number 14. There's power in a seed. Mark chapter 4. Verse number 14 says, the sower soweth the word. So this is why God has preachers. This is why the gospel is constantly being preached. This is why Jesus came and he preached. This is why God gave us 66 books, thousands of pages of his word. This is why God gives us apostles and prophets. This is why God is setting things in order in the church. This is why, because he wants us to get the word, because the word has the power to change your destiny. Watch this. The word has the power to change your destiny. Matter of fact, I'm going to go to John 1:12. So don't nobody get to accusing me of saying, excluding anybody. God's word is for everybody. It's for everybody. John 1:12, I'm not even going to read it. I know what it says. It says that to as many as believed upon him, to as many as received him, gave he power to become the sons of God. So he gives you power towards sonship through faith. Faith in his word, faith in his name, faith in his person. Okay? So believing, he gives you power unto sonship. So I don't want somebody to leave here with the wrong idea that anybody is predestined for hell. Nobody is predestined for hell. The destiny of hell is already previously set, and you can choose it, but it's not chosen for you. But God knows them that are his. So if you're his, then you're making yourself available to be known by him. You're receiving him. You're walking on the path that is the destiny that leads to life, not the destiny that leads to hell. I'm going to leave that alone for now. But understand that God says, matter of fact, I'm going to go back to it. God says in his word, I place two roads before you, two roads, life and death. You can find that in Deuteronomy chapter 30, chapter 15, verse number 30, excuse me. He says, I put before you two roads, life and death, good and evil. And then he tells you to choose life. So God is always the God that's going to put two destinies before you. The devil didn't put it there. God put it there. It was not the devil that put two trees in the Garden of Eden. Adam had two choices. He could have ate from the tree of life, or he could have ate from the tree that God told him, if you eat, you're going to die in the day you eat thereof. So I call it the tree of death, because the day you eat, you die. God told him, he says, if you eat from that tree, you're going to surely die. Well, God is the one that planted that garden. The Bible says God planted the garden east in Eden. So God planted that garden. God put those trees there. Not the devil, although the devil coerced man to eat from what he should not have. God placed it all there for him. So our God is a God of choice. He's a God of choices and decisions. He gives you choices, but you make the decision. I'm going to say that again. He gives you choices, right way, wrong way, but you make the decision. He would be an unjust God to force everyone to live right. How would he know that we loved him if he didn't give us choices? How would he know? How would he really know? He's a God that knows everything, so he could know. But how would he experience our loving him if he didn't give us a choice? That's a better question, right? How would he experience us loving him if he didn't give us a choice not to? So choices matter. Decisions matter. Watch this. So God is not into predestiny of destruction, like he's preordained for you to be destroyed. That is not the word. That is not the truth. But he has prearranged destinies, and you choose one of them. So when you, this is why I preach so hard on holiness, because it's our choice. It's our decision to know God and to be known of God. It's up to us. He's done did it all. We always say Jesus paid it all. Jesus gave it all, and it's his finished work. Well, he did. So now what does that leave us? He says, John 1 and 12, as many as received him gave he the power to become the sons of God. We have to receive him. That means openly embrace him with all of your heart and follow the Spirit as he's leading. And as we follow, he says, you're a son. Romans 8, 14, glory be to God. Now, still talking about the power of a seed. This is the second half of this message. Mark 4, 14 says, the sower soweth the word. There's power in sowing God's word. Now, understand something about this. He's likening his word to a seed. God's saying the kingdom of God is coming like a seed. He's giving it to you in the form of a seed. The thing about a seed is there's life within a life. Okay? The outside of the seed, watch this. Somebody going to catch this in the spirit. The outside of the seed is not the part of the seed that's going to bring forth what should be. Glory be to God. This is why you can't judge by appearance. You can't even judge by what it sounds like. Have ears to hear. Jesus said you got to have ears to hear often, because he was talking to a different part of you. Because you, just like the outside of the seed is not important, really. The outside of you ain't important. It's flesh. It's got to die. The inner part of you, the spirit, that spirit, that's the part of you that matters. Watch this. So watch this. God told Adam, in the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. But then the Bible says Adam lived 930 years. So, obviously, death had nothing to do with the flesh. Woohoo! Death had nothing to do with the flesh. What is death really? It's an inward thing. So what is life really? It's an inward thing. The power of a seed. I'm going to read this parable really fast, and I'm going to expound on it very little, and then I'm going to get into the meat of this, and I'm going to let you go. This parable Jesus tells us, y'all often who listen to this broadcast and that follow this ministry, y'all have heard me preach on this many a times. This is a foundational teaching, and I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to read it to you. Not going to tell you why, I'm going to read why, as Jesus said. So I'm going to go back one verse, verse number 13 of Mark chapter 4. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? There's a question mark there. And how then will ye know all parables? If you don't get this, you ain't going to get nothing, is what he's basically saying. This is foundational. If you really don't understand this parable in its true form, this is Jesus talking here. He said, know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? Now, in other places, Matthew 13, to be specific, Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is as if a man should cast seed into the ground. Seed, the power of a seed. Whose seed are you? Ponder that rhetorical question. Oh, I know we call on his name. I know we say God is my father. But on that day, is he going to say, I know you, or I don't? Because God knows them that are his. Now, the following part of that statement, God knows them that are his, also says, and let everyone that named the name of Christ depart from iniquity. It's amazing, the word verbiage there. He talks about knowing them that are his, but they got to depart from something. Then where he says he don't know them, he tells them, you got to depart from me. Pick your departure now so you won't have to later. Be known. Watch this. Whose seed are you? Watch this. The power of a seed. Jesus says, know ye not this parable? How then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word, and they that are on the wayside where the word is sown, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that is sown in their hearts. Hold it. Stop right there. Satan understands there's power in the seed of the word. He came, the Bible says he came immediately to take the word out of their heart. That means some people, every time they come on here, they're listening. The devil's distracting them. They watching the ball game. They playing on their cell phone, something. The spouse get to acting a fool. Or as soon as they get the word, and as soon as they get off the line, somebody start arguing with them. Or doubt comes and plagues their mind. Or something happens. The devil comes immediately to take the seed. Watch this. He says, and he taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. He comes to take away the seed. He knows that that seed got more power than the heart that it fell on. And he can't allow it to bear fruit. So he's coming after that seed. You got to learn how to guard your seed. Hallelujah. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard, immediately receive it with gladness. Notice everything about with the seed, the word immediate. There's something immediate about seed. That means you got to pay close attention when the seed is flowing. You got to understand when God has anointed somebody with good seed, it's your job to move quickly in being receptive. You got to cut off the distractions quickly. Look, shut up, leave me alone. I'm trying to get this word in me. If that's what it takes, hey, you can apologize later and get things straight later, but don't let nothing come between you and the seed of the word, because it's going to produce life. Jesus says, the words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. Hallelujah. We want the spirit without the word, and that's why people getting deceived all the time by the word through another spirit, because they want all spirit and no word. Mm-mm. That ain't how God operates. He says, listen, the devil, he understands if I can get this seed away from you, you ain't going to get this spirit like you think you got it, like you want it. You ain't going to really get him till you get this word in you. Watch this. So that's why he come immediately. He ain't stupid. The Bible says he come immediately. Take the word that was sown in their heart. Watch this. Yes, God wants to prosper you. God, we want to hear words about prosperity and blessings all the time. But understand something. Everything you need is in the seed. It's in the seed. Are we hearers today? Are we not only hearers, are we receivers, and then are we doers? Are we actively guarding the seed to really Psalms chapter 1 says that he that meditates on the word night and day, he shall prosper in whatsoever he do. So it's back to the seed. You'll prosper. Joshua 1 and 8 says meditate on the word night and day, that you may observe to do all that is in it. Then shalt thou make thy way prosperous and have good success. So those that are pulling for prosperity in the spirit, that is your word of prosperity, soul prosperity, that you may prosper as your soul prospers. Listen, the wicked prosper. The Bible says, I was envious at the wicked and how they prosper in their own way. So the wicked have a prosperity plan. It's called my way, my own way. But if you want to prosper in God, you got to get in God's way, and Yahweh. All right, watch this. Watch this. He says, they receive it, the word, immediately with gladness, but they have no root in themselves and endure but for a time. Afterwards, when affliction and persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. So here comes something to offend you immediately to take the word out. So there's that word immediately for the third time dealing with the seed. Do y'all see the connection here? With the seed, you got to be attentive. You got to have pinpoint focus to really be a receiver of the seed, because it's the seed that's going to give you life. The sower soweth the word. See, we've made the seed all about money. All these false preachers out here talking about seed, and all they tell you about is money. And that's why you on the line, and I hear your spirit saying, well, tell me I'm going to prosper. I hear you. The reason people can't receive a word, a true word of God, and they think it's irrelevant nowadays, is because we've been taught and conditioned that it's all about the things of this world, money. We done heard seed so many times wrapped around money, but he tells you right here, the sower soweth the word. The word. Watch this now. The word. He says, immediately they are offended. Immediately. There's that word immediately. And these are they which are sown among thorns. Here's where y'all been getting a lot of word from in the 21st century. The thorns. People that were thorny. This is why you can't receive the good word. This is why we struggle in receiving good word, because we done heard so much thorny stuff. Watch this. He says, they receive it among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches. See, been deceived about money. All we think about when we hear seed is money. Now, I'm not saying that the principle of seed, time, and harvest doesn't work with money, because it does. It does. But that's perishable stuff. The job of the preacher is to bring the reality of eternal life into your now. When? Now. I'm going to say that again. The job of the preacher, the God-ordained, the God-sent preacher, is to bring you into the reality of eternal life now. Not this what so-called abundant life. We've said the abundant life is you got to have more things. No, that ain't what he was talking about, more stuff. He wasn't talking about your stuff. He was talking about eternal life in the believer. I'm so sick of the preachers twisting the word about money to get their pockets fat, but God got a way to get the fat out. Watch this. Obedience will get you the fatness of the land, but lies will get you rebuke. Glory to God. Glory to God. So I've heard it so many times, but when you begin to really press in and ask God about his character, ask God about his word, ask God who he really is, ask God who you really are, ask God how this word really applies, he will tell you, you know, that what you heard over there, that wasn't really my word. That was man's twist. They put that on there to get your money. He'll tell you. He'll put you in a position of learning, so that you can really begin to receive the word that's really performing and the word that is producing life in the believer. So when he talks about abundant life, it ain't got nothing to do with money. It'll affect your money in a good way. It'll affect your health in a good way. It'll affect all aspects of your life. It really will. But there's something so much greater than what we've tried to make it. You know, when we talk about sowing and reaping, whatsoever man shall sow, that shall he also reap. We're going to visit that scripture. He's really not talking about money. He's not. He's talking about, are you focused on the flesh or the spirit? Watch this. Now, those that are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becometh
unfruitful. In other words, imagine planting a seed in the ground, but that seed begins to spring up, and as soon as it the sprout comes forth, it's choked, it's wrapped around with thorns. That's the imagery Jesus is giving us here. Notice the seed is good. The seed itself is good in every case. The seed, the word is good. The word is going to do what it do. But if the devil comes and takes it immediately, which he alludes to the birds of the air. Birds have a belly full of seed, but we don't want to be birds. We want to be, watch this, we want to be a tree that produces. Trees, look. A tree drops fruit. A fruit has seed in it. A tree produces seed. A bird just eats seeds. So we don't want to be the birds. We don't want to be seed eaters. Mm-mm. But we want to be a recipient, a receiver, a good ground receiver of this good seed that we will begin to produce that which bears more after its kind. And that's holiness, righteousness. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Okay, watch this. Then everything else is going to be added. That's your prosperity plan. He said, if you seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, all these things will be added. God is in the adding business. And after a while, God will start multiplying what he adds. Hallelujah. And you will have prosperity. It works. It works that way. Watch this. He says, and it becomes unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground. This is the place to be. The power of a seed. Now, I've always talked about the ground before in the past. You know, are you good ground? Well, I believe in everybody under the sound of my voice is good ground. Hallelujah. After the way this word has been cutting us and removing all the stones and the thorns and all that stuff, by that time we're done, you're going to be good ground, cultivated soil. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And we know the word, the seed is good. Glory to God. Watch this. He says, and those that are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Don't let the devil play with your mind now. Receive it. And bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. So we all should be bringing forth some kind of fruit. We ain't got to compete. If you 30-fold, don't compete with 60. If you 60-fold, don't compete with 100. Just look. Just feel your measure. An 8-ounce cup, if it's filled to the brim, it's 8 ounces, but it's full. A 16-ounce cup, if it's filled to the brim, it's 16 ounces, but it's full. A 32-ounce cup, y'all get the point I'm making. We don't have to compete. We just need to be full measure. And we need to fulfill whatever the destiny God has given us, the power of a seed, the power of a seed. So I want to read something here. Paul wrote about the seed in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm going to end on that chapter, but before I go there, there was something Jesus said in John chapter 12. John chapter 12, Jesus said, let me pull that up. He says, except a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. Alone. Let me find that particular verse. Here it is, verse 24. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Understand something here. Understand something here. He says, except it dies, it's going to be alone. It's going to be alone. It's not going to It's not going to multiply. It's not going to get to the place of multiplication until it dies, okay? But then when you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I'm going to find the exact verse where Brother Paul wrote this here. He begins to answer some questions. He begins to talk about different types of seed. But he's really alluding to the flesh and the spirit, the heavenly and the earthly. He's really dealing with the glorified body and the corrupted body that we now live in, the sinful body. Okay, but there's a specific verse I'm looking for in here. He says, that which you sow has to die first. Bear with me one moment. Highlighted this thing here. Now I can't find it. Here it is, verse number 30. 5 and 36.
Verse number 35, he says, but some man will say, how are the dead raised? That's a question mark. And with what body do they come? You had people running around back in that day saying they didn't believe in the resurrection, or they believed the resurrection has already passed. Both were false doctrines, and Paul addresses both in the scriptures. In Jesus' time, the Sadducees were the people that believed in God, but they didn't believe in resurrection. They didn't believe in it. And Jesus said, you do err greatly, not knowing the scriptures or the power of God. See, we got people that want the power of God but don't want scriptures. Or we got people that's just all book and don't want the power of God. You need both to avoid error. He says, you err greatly because you know not the power of God nor know the scriptures, or vice versa. You know not the scriptures nor the power of God. When you lack in either area, you in trouble. But God comes to give us life, and he come to give us power. He come to give us a clarity of understanding through the scriptures that we can obtain everything he has for us, including the power of God. Watch this. Paul says to these people, they ask him, how are the dead raised, and with what body do they come? How are they going? In other words, they can't see past the flesh. If that body's dead and it's buried and disintegrated in the earth now, and how are they going to come back? They just can't believe that God is able to do that. They just can't wrap their mind around it. They can't. And so Paul answers. He says, thou fool. He's mad at him. He says, you fool. That which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. Let me explain what that means for those that may not read the King James very often. That word quickened means brought to life. He says, that which you sow, the seed that you plant in the ground, He says, it is not quickened except it die. Some things got to die for some things to live. Now, watch this. That means habits. You got to let some things die. But watch this. There's a time where God, you're going to get excited over the word of God. Then there's going to be a time where it's going to feel like it's just laying dormant. You're not even going to want to read your Bible. You're not going to want to pray. You're not going to feel like fasting. You're not going to feel like preaching. You're not going to feel like whatever it is that God has for you. You might feel like it's just there and it's dead. Or your dreams, your visions that God put in you. You might feel like it's there and it's just dead. But that's a state of dormancy. Every seed has what's called a dormant state. When you plant a seed, it's dormant underground. But once it begins to get rainwater, it begins to start the life process. Even though it's buried and it can't see the sun, it knows that the sunlight is reaching it some kind of way. Hallelujah. This is why you got to stay in a place of constantly hearing the word, because he says the sower soweth the word. Watch this. The power of a seed. So Paul begins to correct these people and tell them they were foolish. They don't understand what they're talking about. Then he goes on to say, you know, God gives a body to the seed as it pleases him. And he says that which you plant is not the same thing that rises up. When you plant a seed, you don't see a big tree. You see a little tiny seed. Later on, if there's a big tree that springs up, that tree reproduces after its own kind. Hallelujah. Jesus talks about the kingdom and says it is likened unto a mustard seed. Something the Lord said once. He said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, understand a grain means a hard shell seed. So he's saying, if you have faith as a grain, which is a seed, of mustard seed, which is another seed. So what he's really telling us is, inside of a seed, there's really another seed. In other words, watch this. Words are seeds. The word of God is seed. Our words are seeds. We have to be very careful with what we take in, because grain can be within a seed. Watch this. But our faith will get us what we need. Watch this. Watch this. I'm almost done here. He says that. He says that seed time and harvest shall continue as long as the earth remains. That's in Genesis 8:22. Seed time, harvest. There's a time for seed and there's a time for
harvest. Some of us have entered our time of harvest because we have received good seed, and it is now beginning to bring forth fruit. Hallelujah. Some of us, it's time that we start planting good seeds or receiving good seeds, vice versa. Now, I was going to read where he says, God is not mocked, whatsoever man sowed, that shall he also reap. But I'll just let you read that on your own time. I believe that's 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Read that very, very closely and slowly, and you'll see he's not talking about money at all there. He's talking about sowing to your flesh or sowing to the Spirit of God. So that means our prayers are seeds. When we pray, that's a seed that we're sowing unto God. Righteousness is a seed. When you do what's right, you are sowing a seed unto God, and God is saying, I'm going to give you a harvest. Mercy is a seed. He says, he that judges with mercy shall be shown mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Forgiveness is a seed, is a seed. When you trust others, you extend your trust to an individual, you show them that they can be trusted. And by chance, they may just burn you. But by chance, they just might find themselves saying, you know what, I need to be more trustworthy because they trust me. And then all of a sudden, you're receiving the fruit of trust because you've sown it. Love is a seed. Words are seed. Listen, when God's going to do something, he's usually going to do it with a seed. He doesn't have to, but usually he's going to. The first prophecy in the Bible was about seed. About the seed, which is talking about Jesus. He says that the seed of the woman. Watch this. When God wants to do something in the earth, he usually is going to use some type of seed. Now, this is where you can plug in your money. Money is a seed. I never said it's not a seed. I said it's not the seed. Folks taking this word and they twist it to take the principles that's really dealing with the word itself and make it all about money itself. It's because they're serving mammon and not God. And I can see that and I can hear that in certain ministries and certain words that are coming forth. And I'm not going to allow people to deceive me, and I'm not going to deceive others as well with it. I'm going to tell the truth. Now, but money can be considered seed. You can sow money and God can bless you with money. Okay? Kindness, how we treat one another, all that is considered seed. Your prayers is a major seed. The one thing God told you ought to always do, because your prayers are constantly creating a harvest of holiness, a harvest of relationship with God by praying constantly. The more you pray, the more God is drawing near. And the more God draws near, the more he's going to draw you into him. And then you have intimacy, oneness. And he says, then you should ask what you will, and it'll be given to you. That's when you get to the point of prosperity, because whatever you ask for, God will give it to you. Because you're so one with him, you ain't going to ask for nothing that's outside of him. You already now wrapped up, tied up, and tangled up in him. Whatever you ask him for is his will. Hallelujah. That's how that works. You get entangled. It's entanglement with the truth. Watch this. Watch this now. He says, when God's going to do something, he's going to use a seed. When he talks to Abraham, he says, I will bless you, and truly with blessing I will bless you. And he makes all these great grand promises. He says, I'll make your name great, and whosoever curse you, I'll curse them. Whosoever bless you, I'll bless them, and so on and so forth. And he says, and in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. But actually he says, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. So the power of a seed is something that the entire earth can be blessed through the seed of one man. We know that seed really wasn't Isaac or Jacob, but it dealt with the one that would come down through those lineages, which is Jesus. One seed, the firstborn among many brethren. Watch this. Almost done here. There's power in a seed. There's power in a seed. God, in the beginning, he had this thing set up so great that he brought forth the trees before there ever was a seed. Watch this now. You can find that in Genesis, I believe, 1 and 29. I ain't going to read it. Just take notes and go back and study this. Genesis 1 and 29, I believe it says that, before the earth brought forth, excuse me, it talks about the earth bringing forth the trees and all that in that specific day. And then you can read in chapter 2 also, it talks about God bringing forth the grass and the herb yielding seed and the trees and the fruits and all that. That was before he you know, ever had a seed that he gave to man. So what I'm saying is this, watch this. From the very beginning, there were full-grown trees with fruit and all of that, the whole garden, the whole earth, all of that stuff was already full-grown and mature before man sowed any seed in the ground. Watch this. The point of me saying that is this. In God, your harvest is already done. Hallelujah. In God, your harvest is already done. But that doesn't exempt us from seed. That doesn't exempt us from sowing. That doesn't exempt us from doing what is righteous. The word of God says, sow to yourself in righteousness. Because what you sow, you're going to reap. If it's good or if it's evil, God is not mocked. It don't make no difference who you are. It doesn't make a difference what title you have. It doesn't make a difference. There's no discrimination. It doesn't matter who you are. From me, you, them, him, her, he, she, all of us. We all are affected by this rule, this spiritual law that says what you sow, that shall you also reap. So we want to sow according to that which is righteous, which is the word of God. We want to not only sow the word to other people, get to know the word and let God use us to put his word out, but let God use us. But we also have to sow it into our own selves. This is how you have a healthy life, a healthy relationship with God, a healthy spiritual and mental condition, is you begin to allow this word to get in you. You begin to take it in, sow it into yourself, meditate on it. He says that if you meditate on his word day and night, he said that man shall prosper in whatsoever he do. That man is like a tree. Told you we like trees, not like birds. Birds eat seeds. They come through and they eat them all up. And that means there are people that get the substance of the word. They eat it up, but they're not like the tree. You got to be like the tree that's planted by the river. Hallelujah. It says his leaf shall not wither, and in due season he shall bring forth fruit. And whatsoever he do, he shall prosper. Glory be to God. So we want to understand the power of a seed. One last verse, 1 Peter 1:23 says, we are born again by the uncorruptible seed of the word of God. So God's word is seed. God's word is life. God's word contains everything we need. And God's word is more than just the chapters and verses and the pages, okay? I'm not limiting God to a book, but the book is revealing the person. And the Spirit will take you into the book and show you the living part of this word to where you begin to know that Spirit even more. So when the book is not present, you still can hear the word of God speaking to you. There's a song called Word of God Speak. Word of God Speak. The place where you open the book and it's not, you're not reading, you're having a conversation. That's a place where you go into the book. And there's a living person talking to you in the book. There's a place where you can close the book and you still hear the voice of the Lord God walking. That's where we want to get to. And you can, because of the power of a seed. This is good seed. I pray you good ground. Hallelujah. I pray you have worked on yourself and made yourself cultivated to be good ground to really, really receive the insight that God really wants to place in you. Some things God says without saying. Sometimes the fruit of a seed is revealed later. Glory to God. The moment he says seed time and harvest. So there's time in between the seed and the harvest. Sometimes you're getting good seed and don't know you're getting good seed, and it's revealed later. Glory be unto God. Hallelujah. So we just thank God for his word. Thank God for those who are willing to listen and who have tuned in today. God bless you. If you have a prayer request, someone on our team will pray with you. You can dial 1 right now. If not, I'm going to just release the line and you are dismissed. God bless you.
Change me, oh. God. Make me more like you. Change me, oh God. Wash me.
family, know that you are loved, honored, and appreciated in Jesus' name. Thank you for joining us for our daily programming, and we sincerely thank you for your participation, prayers, and presence. If our ministries have been effective in blessing your growth in Christ, please join our covenant givers at Provoke2000Now.com to make all financial donations. Provoke2000Now.com. Again, we thank you for your willingness to covenant and to assist with the outreach ministry programs of the Now Network and P2P Ministries. With your help, we are able to respond and to meet the needs of the people and the communities that we serve. We pray that your life has been changed, rearranged, and transformed by the renewing of your mind. In Jesus' name.